With kings, you show reverence, humility, honor. But I had no intention of doing that with this child. We weren't looking for a messiah, just seeking to satisfy our curiosity. You understand? Let's see if A plus B can equal C. So this curiosity led me and my companions to the one they claimed to be a king. I must tell you, I'm not moved by emotion. Skeptical for the most part. My colleagues say cynical. Maybe they're right. I deal in logic. Maps. Stars. Books. History. So we followed the star. We found the mother and father and the boy they called Jesus in Bethlehem. Yes, I was expecting a child, but, well, there he was. The boy who drove Herod mad. Who held command to armies of angels. Who lured peasant shepherds away from their sole livelihood. This child they claimed to be Messiah. Like I said, a king in my own right, had no intention of bowing to this child. I was bound only by curiosity. But then I saw him. And I felt a fascination. Something unmistakable. Something I had never seen with my own eyes. Divinity. Since the beginning of time, kings have invented their own wild mythologies of their birth. But this king's birth was foretold by prophets long before he took his first earthly breath. Other kings spread tales through their kingdoms of their triumphs and valor. But this king said nothing. Legions of angels spoke for him. I think of him every day. How I went to satisfy my curiosity and found the answer I didn't know I needed. A Messiah.
We are finishing up today this series called Witness His Majesty. And it's been a great series to kind of look at the real lives of these people who are behind the scenes of the birth of Christ. Today we look at these men called wise men, and I like that last phrase, seeking a savior I didn't know I needed. The wise men, whether or not that portrayed them accurately or not, I don't know. But I do know that most of us are doing exactly what most of our world does, exactly what those men were doing. That's just seeking something they knew was inside them, but they couldn't figure out what it was. There is an empty place inside of all humanity. It's a place that God resides, that God wants to reside in. And when people try to fill it, they fill it with all different kinds of things. They fill it with pleasure. They fill it with people. They fill it with travel, with seeking things. They may try to fill it with religion. But like these wise men, we too are seeking a savior sometimes we don't know we need. Seeking a savior we don't know we need. And so today we're going to be talking about this idea of seeking a savior, and we're going to be comparing these wise men to some other groups of people and then to ourselves as we go through this. And so this morning we're going to read out of the book of Matthew, the second chapter. So if you have a Bible accessible to you, either on your phone or in hard copy like mine, let's read these 12 verses. It says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews. We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, and as everyone else was in Jerusalem, and he called a meeting of the leading priests and the teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is this Messiah to be born?" And they replied, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them that the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem, and it went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy, and they entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. These kingmakers from the east had come to Bethlehem. They had come to Jerusalem. Now, the reason they came to Jerusalem, because if you were seeking a king to be born, you would seek the king in the capital city. So if there was a king to be born in this country, if there was such a thing, we would go to our capital, which would be Washington, D.C. That's where you would find him. You would find him in the palace, having been taken care of. And so they went to the place where the king would have been. So they sought him there, and they asked, "Where is this baby who is born king of the Jews? Because we have seen his star." These men had been looking for this for a while, evidently. They studied. Because these men were Gentiles. They were Gentiles from an area of that we would consider to be Iran right now. It was Persia at the time. And if you remember your biblical history, understand that this is the place where when Judah was taken and sent into captivity, they were sent to Babylon, which was now right basically where Iraq is. And Iraq then ultimately was gobbled up by Iran back in those times. So Persia came in and conquered Babylon. And then all these wise men like Daniel and his friends all went from the area of Babylon into Iran, to the city of Nineveh, and were part of the Persian Empire. And so at the time of this happening, remember that Daniel, in his early days of his work in the land of Babylon, became a chief magi. He became a chief wise man because he was wiser than all of the others in that time. And so if you're thinking about this, understand this is thousands of years before this ever happened, and God sent Daniel ahead. And he, since he was the chief of the Magi, he would have taught them also the prophecies of the Old Testament. He would have given them the literature of the Jews because they wanted to know all the cultures that were around the world, okay? And so he gave them those things. And so when you think about this, think about God's plan. That God knew that when Jesus was born, they were these people, these Mary and Joseph were going to need some money to get from there to Egypt, okay? And we're going to talk about the gifts that they brought and think about those. He needed these men from a foreign country who were Gentiles to come to a Jewish nation to look for this baby. And so he prompted them at that time to think about this. And then they saw a star that represented this child. And so they traveled. Interesting to me that these men were not afraid of going to look and seek for this king. Now, whether they knew he was really going to be their savior, whether he was going to be Messiah for them, I'm not sure that they knew that when they started off. But I think as he portrayed, that when he got there, he recognized this is something that he had not seen before. And yet at the same time, they brought with them some gifts. The first gift they gave to this Messiah was their time and energy. So they are traveling from the area of Iran over to Israel. And so in that day, without any motor vehicles, I'm sure this was a several week journey that they had to travel. And so the money they put out to do that and the energy they did it, and they weren't just three, they probably were a caravan. So it was a pretty good size amount of money to get to go see this king, okay? The second thing they came with was their presence. Not present, like we give each other, but presence. They're what you are today. You are present here in this auditorium. So they brought their presence. It wasn't just enough to send gifts. It was their very presence that they came into. It says they came into where the child was, and it says that they bowed before him, and that represents their reverence. They gave him their time and energy. They gave him their presence, and then they gave him their reverence. They bowed before him, recognizing him to be a king. And also, then they gave him their presence, the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Thinking about those gifts, understanding what they meant. Gold was meant for a king, so the gold was the representation of his kingship. The frankincense was a gift of aroma for deity. And so they recognized him as a god. And the myrrh was a representation, or was an embalming fluid, an embalming perfume for his death, recognizing that he was going to be, and we know, the Lamb of God, but they just said, this is for his death. And so in all of their gifts that they gave to him, they represented who he was. He was God, he was king, and he was going to be a sacrifice. He was going to die for the sins of men. That was all inside of these men, these magi from the east, who sought this king and came to worship him. They literally came and worshiped this king. And then we have the story of King Herod and the Jewish religious leaders. And when you think about these men, understand this, that King Herod, when he heard that these men had come into his city, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So why would he be disturbed? Well, Herod was not the official king. Well, he was the official king under Rome. But wouldn't you think that a king of the Jewish people would be Jewish? That would be normal for us. But Herod was not Jewish. He was Idumean. So his background and his heritage were from a kingdom that was directly south of Israel. And he had kind of made up to the Caesar, and the Caesar had put him into power as king over the Jewish people. So when he heard that there was a king that was born king of the Jews, he now understands there is somebody who can take my place. Now, he's a very paranoid man. In fact, he's so paranoid that two of his sons and his favorite wife were trying to usurp his throne, trying to take over his throne, and he had them all three killed. His own flesh and blood and his favorite wife had him killed because they were trying to take over his throne. So he's not above killing people to hang on to what he thinks is his. So he's a paranoid, powerful king that's over Jerusalem, and he says, you know what? Nobody's taking my spot. And so it says he called the people, the people's chief priests and the teachers of the religious law. Now, these are the religious leaders of the Jewish nation. And so they're kind of in cahoots. They're kind of politically aligned with Herod, because if they keep Herod happy, then they stay happy. And if they make Herod unhappy, then nobody's happy, okay? And Jerusalem knows the same thing. And so these men understood where the baby was going to be born. You know, he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for that's what the prophet said. So they knew the prophecies. They understood them. And when they were given this information, they could have gone the 4 or 5 miles south to Bethlehem and check for themselves. They could have sent one of their runners and said, go find out if this baby is down there, because if he is, we need to lift him up and make him king. I mean, they wanted a king of the Jews more than anybody else. But notice, it doesn't say anything. They didn't do that because they didn't want him either. You know, Herod refused to have him as king, and the religious leaders just ignored him. You see, it was in Bethlehem of Judea that he would be born. and he will be a ruler of all my shepherd my people Israel. They knew this was the line of David that would come from this, and here they had an opportunity to check this out, but they chose not to. It says in these verses here that Herod called the Magi back. He said that, come on back, and I want to talk to you about this. I want to go and worship this man, this baby, like you are going to worship him. And we find out that they really didn't happen. They went down, they made a careful search of him, but they didn't come back. So when we think about the comparison between Herod and the Jewish religious leaders and the Magi, you have to see that the Magi, as Gentiles, had no... they didn't have to worship this God King, okay? And the ones who should be worshiping him didn't want to worship him. So the Gentiles came and they started to show the Jewish people who actually was going to be their king. Now, we also know, and we didn't read this already, but we also know that when Herod found out that the Magi had gone back to their country a different way and they weren't going to come back to get him, he sent soldiers into Bethlehem to kill the children that were 2 years old and younger. And that kind of gives us a time frame for when these Magi came. Most of us think, well, they came right at the time of Christmas. Well, that's not really true. Probably came somewhere between a year and 2 years later. And they came to Bethlehem, probably where Joseph had decided to keep his home, because Nazareth had been such a kind of a troubled area because of the pregnancy and how people felt about him. So he just stayed in Bethlehem, set up his own little shop, his carpenter shop, and started to work there. And so in the process, when these Magi came, they came to a house and they came to see a child. Now we know also, because Matthew uses a different word for the word than word baby. He uses a word that means child. In other words, a child 1 year old and up. Okay, instead of what Luke says, Luke calls it a baby, a word for the word baby. And so we know that there is probably coming at a different time. You see, the wise men came to worship, and the question is, will we come to worship? It says here, after they came to worship, they went ahead and they went their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, and it stopped over the place where the child was. That's the word for child. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed, and they came to the house, and they sat down, and they worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. These men were seeking a savior. They may not have known it at the beginning, but when they left, they understood what they had seen. They understood that this was a king who would ultimately rule over the nation of Israel as the line of David. They understood that he was going to be, he was divine, that he was God, he was a God king, and they understood that he ultimately would have given his life for his nation, and the fact that they gave him that incense of myrrh. And as we think about those things, we think about ourselves, and every person that we meet, and all of us ourselves, we have one or two choices, the same as these people had. The wise men had a choice to either worship him and say, saw him, or to refuse him. Herod had a choice to worship him or refuse him. The Jewish leaders had the same choice. In fact, the Jewish leaders continued to have that choice throughout the life and ministry of Jesus, and they chose to refuse. Every person who comes into contact with Jesus Christ has to make a decision about who he is. Is he God? Is he Savior? Is he the one who is going to take my sin and pay for it with his very own life? Or is he just another good teacher and just somebody I have to put up with? You know, we either are going to accept and worship, or we're going to refuse and ignore the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And, you know, ultimately, when we read this Christmas story, that's the ultimate statement. Which will you do? Will you worship the king and ask him to be part of your life and become your savior, or will you refuse him and say, I don't really want to know anything more about you? And so this is the story of Christmas, of seeking a savior. And as we finish this this Christmas season up, we recognize these real people, just like we are, ordinary people, making decisions about this baby. Is he my Savior or is he not my Savior? Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for the story of Christmas that we review every year.